Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. I want you to look again at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. False foundations always leads to destruction. One of the worst building collapses in history took place in Bangladesh on April the 24th, 2013 in the Ransa Plaza. An 8-story commercial building collapsed in Savar, a district of Bangladesh. The death toll from the collapse was 1,129 people and 2,515 were injured. The building housed a number of garment factories, several shops, and a bank. The head of the Bangladesh Fire Service and Civil Defense said that the upper four floors had been built without a permit. Raina Plaza's architect said the building was planned for shops and offices, but not factory. Other architects stressed the risk involved in placing factories inside a building designed only for shops and offices, noting the structure was potentially not strong enough to bear the weight and vibration of heavy machinery. Inspectors had discovered cracks in the building the day before and had requested evacuation and closure. The shops and the bank on the lower floors immediately closed, but garment workers were forced to return the following day, their supervisors declaring the building to be safe. The building collapsed because of a faulty foundation. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Spirit of deception rules in our nation today. We've opened a door to deception. Romans 8, 1:18, our text gives us insight into how deception gains entrance. Listen to what it says. Who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. The truth is suppressed, and when the truth is suppressed, we open the door to the enemy to deceive us. False foundations always bring destruction. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fail, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, who does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It didn't say if the storms came or if the winds blew, but when the storms came. We build on the right foundation. We build our house on the rock because the storms are going to come. Being a Christian, serving Jesus does not shield you from the storms. As a matter of fact, when you serve Jesus and you become a believer, it attracts storms. So we have to build our house, our life, on the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. He's the chief cornerstone. And we build our house on the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? So false foundations bring destruction. When truth is suppressed, it opens the door for deception. What happens when we suppress the truth in unrighteousness? We exchange the truth of God with a lie. John 8:32 says this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." How do I get free? Knowledge of the truth, understanding of the truth. Now, that's more than just a head knowledge. That's more than me being able to cite scripture and verse and just having it memorized in my head. That's a good thing, but God wants that to flow down into your spirit man. The spirit is the candle of the Lord. That's the hidden man of the heart. God, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what happens? I have to hide this word in my heart. I have to get this word planted in my heart. I have to get it planted down on the inside of me. Because if I know the truth keeps me from deception. If I know the truth will help me to overcome sin. It will help me to recognize when the enemy's coming against me, when he's coming against me with false thoughts that are contrary to his word, then I will have the ability to fight off that deception. We live in a day of deception. You say, well, I don't have to worry about being deceived. Well, I want to tell you this. Satan himself was in the very presence of God. He was one of the covering cherubs, and he was deceived. That's the power of deception. In the very throne of God, in the very access of God, he was deceived and drew a third of the angels with him in that deception. Then I want to tell you, deception is very powerful. That's why you and I have to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Turn to your neighbor and say, the truth will set you free. What happens when we suppress the truth in unrighteousness? We exchange the truth of God with a lie. Romans 1:18, our text, for the wrath of God. We don't hear much about the wrath of God. We hear a lot about the mercy of God. We hear a lot about the love of God. But I believe we need to hear about the wrath of God. God is a just God, and his justice demands a penalty for sin. Sin always has consequences. Well, we can just sin and get by with it, and God's up in heaven winking at it, and he won't hold my sin against me. There's that suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. Now, the Bible says that we have the propensity to sin, and if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he stands ready to forgive us. He stands ready to wash us, because if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that when you blow it, you miss it, you make a mistake, God will forgive you and he loves you. So I'm not preaching a message of harsh judgment. There is mercy, but mercy has to be tempered with judgment. And in God's judgment, he remembers mercy. But the wrath of God. And then we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. When we do that, we create a faulty foundation. So we must have a sure foundation. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:11. He'll put it on the screen. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have to be a people of the Word. Back to the Bible Ministries has done the following research. This is some scientific research. This is not just an online poll, but this was studied out pretty extensively. And this is the conclusion they've come to. When someone engages the Bible four times or more a week, they are 228% more likely to share their faith with others. 228% more likely to share their faith with others. They are 407% more likely to memorize Scripture. They are 59% less likely to view pornography. They are 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. This research proves what we already know. Reading and studying the Word of God brings transformation. We have the most powerful message in the world. We have the light that overcomes darkness. We have the Word that heals. We have the life-giving power of the Word of God. Psalms 119, 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. See, we live in what the Apostle Paul described as perilous times, dangerous times. And this is why there's such deception in our nation, because we have suppressed the truth and lie. Listen, if you speak a lie enough, that lie becomes believed as truth. And when we begin to suppress the truth with a lie, and we begin to speak forth those lies, and we begin to say and rehearse those lies, what happens? We begin to believe that lie as truth, and then we create a stronghold that gives the devil entrance, where the devil can allow our minds to be clouded and blinded to the truth of God's word. And when our minds and our eyes are blinded to the truth of God's word, we then come into bondage, and we live in bondage. That's why you have to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if you keep saying it enough, next thing you know, you get your mind in it. That's why Paul wrote us in Romans 12:1-2, and he said, be renewed in your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, everybody say prove, what is the good and acceptable will of God and perfect will of God. It's the truth. It's knowing God's word. It's understanding God's word. It's meditating on God's word. I want to give you three reasons this morning why I believe that there's deception in the land and why people are deceived. First of all, we live in a participation society. A participation society. What is a participation society? That's where everybody gets a trophy. One of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, that's kind of like being a Clemson fan, but one of the Pittsburgh Steeler linebackers refused to let his children get a participation trophy. He said, they're not going to get a trophy for showing up. They're going to get a trophy because they earned it. We live in a participation society. When we suppress the truth, we become that kind of society. There are no winners and no losers. We just give everybody an award. Everybody's equal. I read some time ago that one of the most prestigious medical schools in our nation did away with letter grades because they wanted to cut out competition and they didn't want anybody to feel as if somebody else was smarter than they were. So now they just have pass or fail. That takes away any incentive. All courses were pass or fail. They want to cut down on competition. The problem is we remove the incentive. What does a participation society look like in the church? Well, it's more difficult to get people engaged, to engage in ministry, to engage in doing things for God. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus sends seven letters to seven churches in Asia Minor. The seventh church is the church of Laodicea. Listen to the words of Jesus to this church in Revelation 3, 14 through 19. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." Pretty strong words. He says, "I know your works." You see, we've allowed the culture to shape our thinking instead of the Word of God. We live in this all-inclusive society. What would Jesus say to us today? To the angel of the church of South Greenwood, write these things. Pretty sobering, isn't it? Here's what he'd say: "I know your works." Church today has become a convenience instead of a necessity. Will he bring a rebuke? Will he bring a correction? Will he correct us for losing our first love like the church of Ephesus? There'll be no participation trophies in the kingdom of God. When we get to heaven, we're going to stand before God one day at the beam of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. He won't say, "Well, here's your trophy for showing up." There's no participation trophies in the kingdom of God. The Bible says we'll be judged based on our works. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We will be judged based on our faithfulness. We serve a jealous God. He doesn't share his glory with others. Exodus 20 verse 5, "And you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." What happens when we suppress the truth of God? We exchange it for a lie. So we live in a participation society. But secondly, we live in a pretender society. What is a pretender society? Well, social media. How many of you heard of that? Facebook. You know there's over 1.6 billion people on Facebook? And now they have algorithms on there, whatever. If you go search for something on Amazon or you go search for something on the internet, I was looking at something the other day, and now all that pops up on my Facebook page are these ads. I thought, where did that come from? I'll tell you where. That's cookies. That's where that comes from, and it's targeting you. And every time you get targeted and you click on that, they get paid. Social media is not so you can be social and have fun. It's all meant to make money. That's free enterprise. That's the capitalist system we live in. Nothing wrong with that. That's just the way our society works. Social media. Now, I could get my wife and I could make pictures and we could be smiling and I can put all those pictures on there of good things and you say, "Wow, he's got it going on. Look at what he's doing." I could go different places, like when we're in Israel, and we can snap pictures and you can look at that. What we do is we put the highlights on social media. And if we're not careful, we're looking at that and we say, "Look, man, they really got to life. Look at what they're doing. They're doing good things." But we don't put the lowlights on there. We don't put the hardships. We don't put the difficulties. Sometimes when you look at people who are successful, we're envious of their success and we think, "Oh, look at them and look at what they have and look at what they've done." And we think, "Man, they got that real easy." But we don't see the hardships and the sacrifice and the price they paid to get to that place of success. So if we're not careful, we become pretenders. We've got all this thing where we're connected to social media, and I think we're more lonely than we've ever been before. You see, we don't go online, we live online. I'll say that again. We don't go online, we live online. We spend 2,422 minutes online per week. That is 40 hours per week we spend on the internet. That's more time than we spend watching TV. 1,911 minutes per week on TV. And most of our time today online is on this mobile device right here. Mobile has now surpassed desktop for searches and for internet activity. See, social media shows the highlight, but what it don't show is the lowlights. Much like TV, we only see snippets and images. People can appear to have lots of friends, yet live a lonely life. And when we suppress the truth of God, we become a pretender society. Jesus identifies a pretender society in the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. Notice that. I know your works. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Now, how would you like for Jesus to show up as the guest speaker this morning? And he says, I know your works. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. You're a pretender society. Pretty sobering. He gives us this challenge in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 7. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard from them for their many words. He continues in Matthew 6, 16 through 18, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We must not be deceived into becoming a pretender society. We must not exchange the truth of God for a lie. So we're a participation society. We're a pretender society. But third, we're a potpourri society. And when we suppress the truth, we become a potpourri society. What is a potpourri society? Potpourri is a mixture of dead petals and spices placed in a bowl or a small sack to perfume clothing or a room. It produces a sweet aroma. It can also be defined as a mixture, a collection, or assortment. What happens when we exchange the truth of God for a lie? Everybody's accepted. A potpourri society is an all-inclusive society. That's where we drop all the standards. That's where we allow the culture to shape our thinking instead of the Word of God. That's where we believe that God is just too sweet and too kind to send anybody to hell based on their sexual orientation or based on their sins. God's just this good, benevolent granddaddy up in heaven sitting on the throne, and he's really not going to hold up to what he said, and he's going to just let everybody come to heaven because he's just too sweet to let anybody go to hell. That's a potpourri society. That's what happens when we exchange the truth of God for a lie. We suppress the truth, it creates a faulty foundation. It gives the devil entrance. And what happens is when we suppress the truth, and what we try to do is we have an argument based on the truth. Anytime there's an argument about the truth, you're trying to justify it in your mind. You're not arguing with God, you're arguing with yourself. God's already settled it. I've tried to give God my opinion at times, and God just keeps saying the same thing. He never changes. What I'm doing is I'm arguing with myself and trying to convince myself. That's a stronghold. I'm trying to justify, is this okay? Is God okay with this? Does this okay? And what happens is if I'm arguing and debating that point, I'm trying to justify it in my own mind and in my own heart. And what I'm doing is I'm suppressing the truth. I'm pressing the truth down. And when we suppress the truth, we exchange the truth of God for a lie. What happens when we suppress the truth? Well, we open the door for destruction. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Romans 1, 18. It reveals the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. What happens when we exchange the truth of God for a lie? Romans 1, 21. We become futile in our thoughts and our fuelless hearts are darkened. They became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. If you believe the Word of God today and you hold to the standards of the Word of God, our society thinks you're out of touch, you have not evolved, you're believing fables of an ancient religion that holds no power or no sway and is irrelevant to the culture that we live in today. And it's going to not get better, it's going to get worse. because it has infected our schools, it has infected our society, it's preached to us over media. It's not going to get better because it's already infected. It's like a poison that's been into the bloodstream, and it's already infected us as a nation, and it's going to get more and more, the culture is going to get more and more ungodly and away from God and become more like those cultures that are cold and indifferent, and you and I, to stand for truth in this hour, will be called bigots, we'll be called all kinds of names, and be looked at as if we are preaching hate, when in reality, we are preaching love, because love never just bends over and says, okay, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to be, that's okay. Love stands up and says, you know, I love you enough to tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we don't hate anybody as true believers. But professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. Romans 1:23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man. Why is there idolatry? Because we suppress the truth. And we exchange the truth of God for a lie. Romans 1:24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Why is there lewd, perverted, wicked things? Because they express the truth and they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And the enemy will come at you and lie to you and tell you, you can't help yourself. This is the way you're wired. This is the way you were born. And this is who you are, and you can't help. And if you suppress that and you come into agreement with that and you believe that, you exchange the truth of God for a lie. And the lie becomes your center of gravity, and now you have a faulty foundation. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ as our Lord. And what does it do? It brings me into bondage, and ultimately sin destroys me. Romans 1:25, he'll put it on the screen. Look at this. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I want you to look at the progression of deception. Romans 1:26-33. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what it is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving it in themselves, the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same thing, but also approve of those who practice them. Approve of those who practice them. We tend to have two sets of principles, one for everybody else and one for those who are in our inner circle. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. We make excuses for those people who are close. Well, you know, they can't help that because they have this problem or that problem. The truth of the matter is we have to let people have an encounter with God and know the truth so the truth can set them free. We're all victims of our circumstances. We've been dysfunctional since Adam and Eve. That's who Jesus came to die for, dysfunctional. We suppress the truth, and the truth, we exchange that for a lie. That's why the enemy attacks your mind and comes against you. He comes at you with lies. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:11. And he accuses us day and night. And you never reach a place of maturity in God where you don't have the enemy attacking you or assaulting you. He just figures out a different way to come at you. And he'll come at your mind. And he just comes at your mind. And if you're not careful, you come into alignment in that thinking with that, you've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You'll never accomplish what God's called you to accomplish. You're not smart enough. You're not educated enough. You don't have enough money. You'll never do that. You'll never be able to accomplish that. You think, well, you know, that's probably right. I probably won't. You know, my family never did, and my daddy never did, and my granddaddy never did, and why don't I think I'm better than they are? Well, see, you've exchanged the truth of God for a lie because the Word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're not going to make it financially. And the devil will come and he'll drop all your income sources and he'll mess with your provision during that season. Yeah, you're not going to make it. You believed that preacher when he told you to give your offering. You should have kept that. You're going to need that because now you're not going to be able to pay your bills. Now, I'm not going to be able to pay my bill. You've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, because the Bible says he shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over, it caused men to give into your bosom. See, I've suppressed the truth, and I've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and I come into agreement with the lie. And when I come into agreement with the lie, I've come into agreement with the father of lies, who has got nothing but lies that come out of him, because that's who he is. And when I do that, I've come into that, and now I'm deceived. You know, you prayed and prayed and prayed to be healed, but you still got all these symptoms. God really doesn't want you healed. Maybe that's right. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's for everybody else, but it's not for me. I've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Do you see what I'm talking about? That's why the enemy comes at you the way he comes at you. The battle's here. It's for your mind. It's for your thinking. And we have to get our minds renewed. How do we do that? Well, I can come to the altar and pastor can pray for me and my mind will get renewed. No, I can pray for you and you can get a touch from heaven. You can be encouraged. You can be strengthened. God can do something in you. But if you want to get your mind renewed, you got to meditate and study the Word of God and get the Word down on the inside of you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So what's the remedy for all this? How do we overcome the deception of our day? How do we shore up our foundation? Well, Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel. Let me tell you about the gospel. The gospel is very simple. We add to it. We make it more complicated. But the gospel is basically this. Jesus saves. He says it is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ that makes the difference in their life. He said you don't have to go with a long theological argument. You just preach the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Good news. But if you want good news, you'll find it in the Word of God. And this morning, we have the greatest message of all messages that has the ability to set people free and to help them to establish a sure foundation so that they can build their lives on a sure foundation that when the storms come, they're anchored to the rock and they will not be moved. Some years ago, Hurricane Andrew came up through the Atlantic and swept across Miami, Homestead, all that area in Florida. And it was a Category 5, I think, hurricane. It was one of the most destructive in history. And what happened is they found out that many of those houses that were supposed to be built to withstand hurricane strength were not built up to code. They were built to withstand winds of a certain caliber and strength. But what they found out is that many times the builders cheated on that, and the houses were not built to code. The foundation was really faulty because they had skimped on that to save cost. And you see, the storm didn't create character or build character. The storm revealed the character. Storms don't necessarily build our character, but storms reveal our character. And I want to tell you, the storms are going to come in this life. They're going to come. And only when we build and anchor our life on the rock of Christ Jesus, can we withstand the storm. Stand with me.